All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and our next guest is Ray Abele, if I said that right, which I probably didn't. She's from Code Pink and Global Exchange. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, I really appreciate you joining us. Why don't you tell me how to say your last name correctly?
It's Abelea.
Abelea. Okay, I'm sorry. I should have asked you before we were on the air, but I'm too dumb to have thought of that.
Don't worry.
All right. Well, so you're in the news all over the place. Somebody searches your name. If they can figure out how to spell it in the Google News, they'll get all kinds of results. It turns out you got in a verbal exchange of some sort with Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, in New Orleans the other day. Why don't you tell us all about it?
That's right. Myself and a group of 12 young Jews with Jewish Voice for Peace went to the Jewish General Assembly, an annual event of the Jewish Federation of North America, to interject into the dialogue there a more realistic conversation about the reality on the ground in Israel relevance to the occupation of Palestine, the siege of Gaza, the loyalty oath, the current situation on the ground in terms of occupation and oppression. We got there, organized a Young Jewish Leadership Institute, and then coordinated a disruption of Netanyahu's speech to the over 4,000 people in attendance at the conference. And we felt like it was very important to speak truth about what's really going on there in this forum, where so much propaganda around the situation in Israel was being created and put out there. And so there were five of us who got up at various points during Netanyahu's speech to unfurl large banners and to really hone in on the messaging around delegitimization. What does it really mean to delegitimize Israel? The first woman who stood up said the loyalty oath delegitimizes Israel. Another said the occupation delegitimizes Israel. I was the last to stand up, and I said, my banner and my voice, I said, the settlements betray Jewish values. Many of us were speaking in English and Hebrew, and we wanted to make a point that we're part of this Jewish American community and can't be ignored or silenced, and that this reality will keep bubbling up and becoming more and more present as our movement grows. At this conference, it was also announced that the Jewish Federation has created the Israel Action Network, an association with $6 million over the next 3 years that is funding going into trying to take down boycott, divestment, and sanctions actions, nonviolent economic pressure actions aimed at enforcing human rights in Palestine and Israel. And so we were speaking out to oppose that and to say that we're a movement that's not going away. But you would be surprised to hear what happened to us when we did nonviolently stand up and just speak out with our message. Many of us were tackled and manhandled by the other participants sitting around us. In one instance, when Matthew Taylor unfurled a banner from his seat, his banner was snatched by a middle-aged rabbi who proceeded to jump on his chair and rip the banner to smithereens with his teeth. We have this all up on our YouTube footage.
Are you kidding?
I kid you not. You can see this in the video that's up on our site, youngjewishproud.org. And when I stood up and I was the last one, again, the crowd was pretty riled up in kind of a mob mentality, chanting Bibi's name and booing us. And a man from behind me came up and put me in a chokehold. And there's actually a reporter from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency who was able to interview this man, asked him if he'd ever put a woman in a chokehold before, and he said no, he was just trying to help. And so this has become quite a bit of the narrative of the story, that this man is on public record. His name's Jeff Shapiro from San Antonio, Texas, and he's on record assaulting me. And I think this kind of brutality and violence towards nonviolent protesters is just a tiny microcosm of what happens every day in Palestine, every day that a Palestinian nonviolent activist are organizing marches, demonstrations, actions, and are wrongfully incriminated, attacked, assaulted, tear gassed, etc.
Amazing. Well, I have the video playing with the sound down here in front of me as I'm talking with you, Ray, and So far, it's just Benjamin Netanyahu up there speaking. But this goes to one of the things you said at the start, which was the speech, the event, was clouded in a bunch of, kind of a false reality, I guess, as compared to what you guys were talking about on your banners. And it has seemed to me, hope I'm not just answering my own question for you, but it does seem to me like in the right-wing discussion of the Israeli government and the Israel lobby here in the United States and most of the media in the United States, they basically pretend like the occupation doesn't exist, or if it does, it's the Palestinians who are occupying the poor Israelis, or, you know, there's a real lack of honesty surrounding the debate, you know?
Right. There really is. And
I wonder, what was it he was saying up there? What was it that they were pretending that outraged y'all so much?
Well, Netanyahu had two basic points in his speech. He said the major threats that Israel is facing today are a nuclear Iran and the delegitimization of Israel. And so we've started speaking out about the delegitimization before he actually got to the word. And he did focus on that for a lot of his talk. And then he talked about the peace process, saying that he hopes that Palestinians will come to the table, and laid out this kind of mythic untruth version of what's going on, which is that Israel wants peace and is doing everything possible, and the Palestinians just won't come to the table and won't negotiate and won't concede anything. And, you know, the reality of what's going on is that while these peace negotiations are happening, the settlements continue to be built and expanded. And so, you know, that is like if you and I were going to start talking about how to share a pizza, and we were going to sit down and talk rationally like two adults about how to share this pizza, but meanwhile, while we're talking, I'm eating it. And, you know, by the time we get finished with our conversation, I might have eaten the whole pizza, and there might not be any for you. I mean, that's the reality of these peace talks, is that they're really more of a farce talk as long as these settlements continue to be built.
Wow. Well, I'm at the part 3 minutes into this video at youngjewishproud.org where the rabbi, as you say, tears the banner apart with his teeth. I guess he was mugging for the camera. I don't really know, but these are the participants basically who, you know, rather than, you know, waiting around for security guards or something like that, the participants basically mobbed y'all in
right.
this crowd for pointing out what you just pointed out.
Right. And I do want to say that that was some of the participants, not all. There were also, young people in the audience who were crying when they saw us stand up, I think because they felt internally the crisis of values between the Jewish values of repairing the world and social justice that they've grown up with, and then the reality of what's going on in Israel. And this was a very in-your-face kind of an action that I think did resonate with a lot of people, and it generated a lot of conversation in the conference after we did protest. Small groups of people gathering to discuss. We heard a lot of positive feedback from the students. The conference had funded 600 young people from college campuses to come, and had really been feeding them a lot of propaganda about Israel in what many of the students said was a very condescending tone that made it seem like they, you know, weren't reasonable adults capable of understanding the reality of what was going on. So I think there was also a lot of support from within for what we did, and I think this is a really important venue to continue to organize in, especially to reach other young Jews like ourselves who are feeling disheartened by what's going on, who see through these lies and see the reality, but also feel afraid of speaking out because there's such a culture of silence and fear in the Jewish community about speaking out on this issue.
It is beginning to change, though, isn't it?
It is, and there was that great article that came out by Peter Beinart in the New York Book Review a few months back, New York Times, talking about the shift in young Jewish opinion with regards to Israel, and that young Jews are being so turned off by Israel's policies that unfortunately they're getting disengaged in Jewish life in general, because so much of Jewish life, whether it's Campus Hillel's or the Jewish Federation, is being dominated by this Israel discourse.
And the government of Israel keeps shifting further and further to the right, I think, probably. Just a few years ago, no one would imagine that Avigdor Lieberman would be the foreign minister.
Right, right. Yeah, we're seeing that shift continue. But we're also seeing a growing...
We're all out of time here, and I'm sorry to just have you this one segment. We've got a really packed show today, but I hope I can have you back on the show.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope that your listeners will check out our site with our new Young Jewish Declaration, youngjewishproud.org.
Yep, and there's a piece here at Mondo Weiss, Jewish Values versus Israeli Policies, Why Five Young Jews Disrupted PM Netanyahu in New Orleans.
That's right.
Thanks,
and if folks want to do something at home, they can check out our site, stolenbeauty.org, to get involved in our boycott.